lifting Govardhan Hill, looking like the full moon surrounded by a galaxy of stars. Krishna, the playful son of Rajraj Nanda, enjoyed blissful pastimes with his intimate associates. These joyous pastimes perfectly befit the enchanting atmosphere of Vrindavan. In the daytime, Krishna tended the cows and sported with his boyfriends. Mother Earth felt honored by the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. The coward boys felt inconceivable bliss within their minds as they frolicked with Krishna. And during their fun-filled days, Krishna often killed some envious demon who acted like poison to saintly persons. One day, Nanda Maharaj, who is the abode of kindness, simplicity, and joy, as well as other senior men of Vrindavan, made preparations to worship the demigod Indra. They collected many articles and made elaborate arrangements for a joyous festival. Noticing this, Krishna said to his father, "O honored one, what is the name of the ceremony you are organizing? Which demigod are you trying to please? Who is the guru instructing you in this yajna with his infallible words? What injunctions and systems of worship are you following? Why are people running around mechanically in all directions? I do not understand the meaning of it. Of course, since I'm only a boy, you may not consider me qualified to comprehend your explanation. But if you think I am eligible, then please tell me all the details of this yajna from beginning to end. If however you think it is too confidential, then still you should tell, because one should not keep secrets from well-wishers. But such details should never be revealed to one's enemies." After speaking so maturely, Krishna sat down next to Vrajraj Nanda on a cloth asan. Nanda Baba lovingly picked up his son, who was like a spotless moon moving on the earth, and placed him on his lap. Hearing the sweet question of his son, Nanda affectionately smiled, revealing his attractive white teeth. The soft glow of his face resembled nectar drops of milk. This nectar appeared to be washing and nourishing Nanda's beard, which was mixed with white and black hair. Beaming in a jolly mood, Vrajraj Nanda tactfully described the nature of the sacrifice. Nanda Maharaj said, "My dear son, in our family line, we have been observing this Indra Yajna for a long time. We experience prosperity and freedom from disturbances due to its proper performance. Our only wealth is the cows that live on grass, which needs rain to grow. Rain comes from the clouds that are controlled by the demigod Indra. For all these reasons, therefore, I'm making a grand festival just to please Indra. Every year at this time, we carefully observe this sacrifice, and being pleased with our yajna, Indra sends abundant rainfall. The other demigods gladly accept our oblations of ghee and show their gratitude by preserving. The demigods, rather, the other demigods gladly accept our oblations of ghee and show their gratitude by preserving what we have and providing what we need. The scriptures say that human beings who honor this tradition become glorious and attain the heavenly planets in their next lives. Any man can attain peace of mind by the blessings of the demigods, and those who neglect to worship the demigods, however, cannot get any relief from their problems. Krishna heard these bitter words, and he smiled mildly to hide his feelings and then refuted Nanda's presentation. Krishna's eloquent delivery amazed and pleased the Brijbasis. Indeed, Krishna mesmerized the entire audience with his words. Krishna said, "In this regard, your actions are not justified. The force of karma causes the birth, maintenance, and destruction of all living entities. It is not the demigods, but it is the person's work that determines his destiny. A saintly person, therefore, need not worship any demigod. One may beg so many desirable things from the demigods, but the demigods cannot give one more than what he is destined by his own pious and impious acts. Only those who cannot control their senses propound that demigods can award more than what one has worked to attain. You can say that living entities are inspired to act by the supersoul, but this is also false, because every individual is under the control of his own conditioned nature. In reality, it is the acquired desires and personal nature of a living entity that causes him to act. Where is the question of the supersoul being the supreme controller? Even the Lord himself does not directly perform the activities of creation, maintenance, and destruction. All these actions are conducted by the three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. It is not a fact that whenever it rains, wherever it rains, the cause is worshipping and pleasing Indra, who in turn sends the rain clouds. There is a constant rain during the monsoon season, but you cannot say that Indra sends it. Indeed, the monsoon rains brings mental distress and makes people weak and thin. So that rain is not the mercy of someone who's pleased. Do the seas and mountains worship Indra? Of course not. But still, they are full of water. Why does Indra give them so much water? Impelled by the material mode of passion, the clouds pour rain everywhere. And this rain sustains all creatures. Therefore, nothing will happen if you do not worship Indra. The Brahmana maintains his life by studying and teaching the Vedas, the Kshatriya by protecting the earth and by political activity, the Vaishyas by trade and agriculture, and the Sudras by serving the other classes. The occupational duties of the vices are conceived of in four directions: farming, commerce, cow protection, and money lending. Of these, our duty is cow protection. Neither in the past nor the future has there been any certainty about having a successful grain harvest in our village. Therefore, this jagya means nothing to us. It is our nature to dwell in the forest and wander in the woods and on the hills. Since we never stay in one place, why should we perform this Indra Jagya, which is not based on any scriptural injunctions? O Father, you are peaceful and respected by everyone. You should have faith in my words, for they will remove all danger. Now, just expertly worship Govardhan Hill with all the ingredients collected for the Indra Jagya. This great mountain is not only named Govardhan, but it has the ability to increase Vardhana, the health and satisfaction of our cows. Go. Collect pots full of milk and make first-class milk sweets like sweet rice. Cook many, many, many tasty foods and fancy cakes. Bring leaf bowls full of ghee, honey, and nectar drinks. Prepare an ocean of yogurt, buttermilk, and fresh butter. Build a mountain of rock candy and cover all directions with an abundance of shikarini rasala. Send messengers to invite the Brahmins. Feed them sumptuously until they laugh and their faces beam with the brilliant garlands of their blissful smiles. At that moment, the Brahmins will consider that the heavenly storehouses of nectar are totally insignificant, call the priest to conduct the fire sacrifice, and distribute cows and charity to the Brahmins. Those among you who are simple-hearted shall just try to feed the Brahmins. You should please everyone by making an anukuta, a great hill of food with thick dals, varieties of aromatic vegetables, and very palatable sweet cakes, surrounded by pools of unlimited sweet rice. Then you should worship Giri Govardhan with the proper articles such as padya. And after feeding the Brahmins, you should give food to everyone else, including such fallen souls as dogs and dog eaters. Saturate the directions with the sweet music of the bhedis, the resonant conches and tumultuous kettle drums, and various other instruments. And the witty, well-versed Brahmins will start the jagya with perfectly pronounced Mangalarchana mantras. The entire horizon will be surcharged with all these auspicious sounds. Then, according to Shastric injunctions, you should circumambulate Giriraj to conclude the worship. Decorated with prices, jingling ornaments that delight the ears, the men should dress so luxuriously that even the demigods would be astonished. The housewives, with their sweet, gentle smiles, should also assemble. Invite the male and female artists to dance and sing along with flutes, veenas, and mridangas, and bring the bullock carts in a procession led by scholarly brahmanas who are truly the personified jewels of all auspiciousness. You, who have the audacity to challenge even Lord Indra, who lives for millenniums, should happily then circumambulate Govardhan Hill along with your cows, your bulls, and your calves. Do not think, how can we have faith that Giriraj will gratify our desires? Soon, Giriraj will fulfill all your desires and become famous as a second Mahendra. He will reward you handsomely and make all your endeavors fruitful. What more can I say, said Krishna. Oh, Father, if you want to, you can follow my advice and achieve an auspicious result. After hearing Krishna's words, Nanda Maharaj and the leading men of Vrindavan accepted his proposal. They agreed that this must be done to satisfy their desires. Acting as the acharya of the yajna, Krishna directed the Brijbasis to worship Giriraj with all the paraphernalia collected for Indra's worship. This, of course, made Indra extremely angry.